Here he is, son number two.
He's the one, son number one.
And he's the older son.
He's the older son. He's the one going to UT now.
Okay.
He's going to... He finished secondary.
What's your field?
Computer science.
Computer science. Do you attend the UT program that the devotees conduct or no? No time?
No, I don't.
Okay.
We are live?
Yep.
No, we are live.
You can come in time for the prasadam. Some students do that. Are we ready? Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Chanda Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Chanda Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Chanda Vallabha Girivara Dhari
Gopi Chanda Vallabha Girivara
Jasodhanandana Prajjanaranjana Jamanatheeravana Chari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari
Gopijana Vallabha
Girivara Vallabha Girivara Dhari
Gopijana Vallabha
Girivara Yashodhanandana Brajajanaranjana Jamuna Thiravana Chari Jamuna Thiravana Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Srimadya Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Kora Primanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We're continuing with Canto 10, chapter 8, which is, well, there's three parts to it. First part, Nanda is kidnapped. And he's kidnapped by the agent of Varuna who miscalculated. They thought that he was improperly preparing to break the Ekadasi fast on Dwadasi morning. So he was bathing in the river Jamuna and he kidnapped him and took him to the abode of Varuna. Krishna went to the abode of Varuna. Varuna was really happy to see him and worshipped him right in front of Nanda. Nanda saw his little boy being worshipped by the demigod, Varuna. Like, whoa. So when they went back, Nanda told the elders and the cowherd men what happened, the opulence of Varuna and the worship of Varuna, of Krishna. So they started speculating, who is he? And one of the conclusions was, maybe because Garga Muni said, the name-giving ceremony, that's also chapter 8. Garga Muni said that he would have powers like Narayan, and with those powers, he would protect the residents of Vrindavan. And that's what we're hearing in the morning. Nanda's calling out Krishna because he knew that Garga said his powers would protect the residents of Vrindavan, including him. So they thought, wow, maybe he's not just with powers like Narayan, maybe he's Narayan. They didn't think like that too long, but they were thinking, maybe he'll show us his abode. Maybe we'll go to his abode after this life, because they were thinking of themselves like ordinary people, souls wandering up and down different planetary systems based on karma. So maybe we'll go to the spiritual world. Maybe he'll take us there. Will he show us the spiritual world? So Krishna showed them the spiritual world. There's a detailed description of the procedure. And actually, I'm mixed up. That was the morning class. That was the previous chapter in the morning class. That was chapter 28. Okay, take two. Mother Jasoda saw the universe within Krishna's mouth. That's chapter 8. Yes, yes. And then she was trying to understand, how did that happen? What was it that I saw? And she gave different speculations about what she saw. And first it was, she got into a philosophical, maybe I'm just dreaming. No, not dreaming, I'm wide awake. Maybe it's that illusion of the demigods. no, I'm not so important. What a demigod's going to bother illusioning me? Maybe I'm deranged. No, I'm fine. Maybe it's the potency of the Supreme Lord. And then she started offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. You're this, you're that, Narayan this, Narayan that. Please protect my son. And Krishna wanted to have Nanda, Mother Jasoda, get into the parental motherly mood and cuddle him and hold him and all those nice things. You see those nice paintings where Mother Jasoda's holding baby Krishna. And he wanted that. He wanted her motherly affection. So he extended his yogamaya potency. She forgot everything. She just like forgot everything that she saw and just became very motherly towards Krishna. The mood completely changed by his yogamaya potency. And then Sukadeva Goswami, the narrator, says there are different conceptions of the Supreme Lord. Some portions of the Vedas say like this, some say like that, kind of like there's a hierarchy. But Mother Jasoda, she's beyond all that. She just sees Krishna as her son. And he became ecstatic, speaking about the intensity of the love of Mother Jasoda. And hearing the whole narration, Maharishi Parikshit speaks two verses, and that's what we've been discussing, 46 and 47. Where he, Parikshit, says, what austerities, and in their past lives have both Nanda and Jasoda undergone to achieve this kind of profound love for Krishna. And then in text 47, he says, I'll read what he says. Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes, which are so great that simply by chanting about them vanquishes the contamination of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, however, enjoyed these pastimes fully, and therefore their position is always better than that of Vasudeva and Devaki. So there's this comparative, like perfect, more perfect, most perfect kind of consideration. So we're reading commentary. Jiva Goswami writes, though Vasudeva and Devaki attained the benediction of being Krishna's parents and were famous everywhere, they did not experience Krishna's infant past activities, although he is the most generous giver, since infant activities were not possible after going to Mathura. So Vasudeva and Devaki were in Mathura, in the prison house of Kamsa. So they couldn't go to Braj because they were in prison. So when he came, by the time he came to Mathura and killed Kamsa and released them from prison, his childhood pastimes were over. It's too late. His generosity, Udara, is illustrated in the following verse. This is a verse that comes in Canto 5, Chapter 6. Canto 5, Chapter 5 and 6. It's a description of Rishabhdev, the father of Bharat Maharaj and so forth, an incarnation of the Lord. So in that chapter, Sukadeva Goswami is narrating about his life, and then he specifically speaks about Krishna. O King Parikshit, Krishna was the protector, instructor, object of worship, giver of affection, and the protector of both the Yadus and Pandavas. But he was sometimes your servant, the servant of Parikshit. He delivered him from Ashwatthama's weapon. The Lord gives liberation, but not bhava bhakti. The Lord gives liberation, but not bhava bhakti, to those who worship him. That's Jiva Goswami's translation. I'm going to read the BBT translation. This is Prabhupada's translation. My dear King, the Supreme Person, Mukunda, is actually the maintainer of all the members of the Pandava and Yadu dynasties. He is your spiritual master, worshipable deity, friend, and the director of your activities. To say nothing of this, he sometimes serves your family as a messenger or servant. This means he works just as ordinary servants do. Those engaged in getting the Lord's favor attain liberation from the Lord very easily, but he does not very easily give the opportunity to render direct service unto him. So that's his magnanimity or his generosity being explained. So he has munificence or opulences and sweetness and kindness and generosity and gentleness. So he's worshipable, but he sometimes is accessible just through intimate loving service, and even he serves his own devotees sometimes. Now this is continuing. Jiva Goswami writes, even great devotees spend the second half of a lifetime of Brahma thinking themselves successful by glorifying him and not even seeing him directly. Brahma and others continue glorifying him even today, starting with giving instructions to Narada and others in the first half of Brahma's life. This is the cause of good fortune for all people, even in the age of Kali. This glorification destroys the sins of all people, since it makes all people successful by being handed down in succession through starting from one point, though starting from one point. And then he quotes Brahma's prayers that comes after the stealing of the calves and the cowherd boys. Familiar? Yeah, okay. Brahma Vimohan Lila. Mad bhakti yukto bhuvanam punati. Translation is, a devotee thus fixed in loving service to me purifies the entire universe, Brahma says. Or, yeah. Krishna says to Brahma. Quote from the same chapter. Oh, no, wait a minute. This is Canto 11, not Canto 10. So it's Uddhava Gita, excuse me. Krishna speaking to Uddhava. A devotee thus fixed in loving service to me purifies the entire universe. And then, same chapter. I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees who are free from all personal desire, who are wrapped in thought of my pastimes, who are fixed in me, without any feelings of enmity, and are equal to all conditions of the world. Let me be purified from the dust of their feet, Krishna says to Uddhava. And then at the very first chapter of Canto 10, Krishna's appearance, even before Krishna appears, there's some discussion. Sutta Goswami says, the activities of Krishna destroy the sins of Kali. And then going back to this verse, the Vasudeva and Devaki are less fortunate than Nanda and Yashoda. Jiva paraphrases what's being said. Prikshit to Sukadev. The greatest of Atmaramas such as you, the great devotees, from time without beginning until even today, sing what is sung in the Shrutis and Puranas, filled with the highest bliss. They sing as if mad in various places, not simply reciting. Those topics of Krishna's infancy destroy the obstacles of karma of low people like me. Prakriti Singh. Just by hearing them, persons like me become successful. What pious acts did those persons who experienced those pastimes perform? Prakriti is expressing great astonishment. Sukadev Goswami's commentary. The great affection is described. The fortune greater than that of Janaka and his wife, and Vasudeva and Devaki, who performed austerities of bhakti spreading over four yugas, is described. These parents did not experience Krishna's infant pastimes directly, since those pastimes were withdrawn when he went to Mathura. They did not experience his infant actions, great because they were the source of all avatars. Krishna, or great Udara, because they give unlimited results of bhukti, mukti, and bhakti. What can be said about directly experiencing those pastimes? They are glorified and give the greatest results. Paragraph. Brahma or Vyasadeva sing, even today in Kali Yuga, about these pastimes. Why? They completely uproot sin of all people. Otherwise, the sins of Kali Yuga could not be destroyed. The poets sing from his birth until now, continuously about these pastimes. For what purpose? They destroy the suffering of samsara for all jivas. Paragraph. A slightly different rendering of this. Even today, after a long time has passed, even the Atmaramas sing of these pastimes, why these pastimes destroy the peace of mind and the talking of the sages, because they stimulate intense prema. The Atmaramas now only speak about those pastimes. Being full of rasa, they naturally become the highest goal. What pious acts did Nanda and Yashoda perform so that they experienced his infant pastimes? So now comes a mention of this particular verse, text 47, in the appearance of Krishna in the prison house of Kamsa. So chapter 3, Devaki offers prayers, Vasudeva offers prayers, Krishna speaks. So this is Krishna speaking to Vasudeva and Devaki. Both of you, husband and wife, constantly think of me with eternal prema as your son. And maybe you once thought of me as the Supreme Brahman. You will achieve my abode, which you already possess. You already possess means, from previous sections, we heard many things. One of them is that Nanda and Yashoda, they're eternal associates of Krishna in Krishna Loka. And when it's time for Krishna's worldly pastimes, they appear from the unmanifest to the manifest state. Similarly, we heard in Krishna Loka, there's three main divisions, Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. So Dwarka of Krishna Loka manifests in Dwarka, Mathura of Krishna Loka manifests in Mathura, and Vrindavan manifests in Vrindavan. They're Krishna's abode, Krishna Loka. Kind of geographically different, but there's the eternal abode, and then they become manifest pastimes. So Vasudeva and Devaki, they're existing in Krishna Loka, in the Mathura portion. But when it comes time for Krishna's appearance, there is a procedure, a lila, by which they appear. But they're already existing in Krishna Loka. And then there's the manifest form for his pastimes. So this is Jiva Goswami, and his commentary that's just on the 10th canto. One of his commentaries is that one. Jiva Goswami writes, "You, Vasudeva Devaki, developed affection for me as Bhagavan in my swarup, spiritual form, as the chief entity, as Brahman personified, because I am the greatest and you continuously meditated upon me. The two moods are seen as equal, just to glorify Brahman. They would go to Vaikuntha along with Kashyapa and Aditi, who had similar qualification." Now, a little detail, because you ready for some detail? It's okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You're college students, you like details. When Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma, that means there's 999 cycles of the four yugas where Krishna doesn't appear in Vrindavan, but he appears in Mathura and Dwaraka as four-armed Vasudeva Krishna, son of Vasudeva. But when he appears in Vrindavan, there is a special arrangement, at least this particular yuga cycle when Krishna appears, or day of Brahma when Krishna appears. And that is that according to the instruction of Lord Narayana, then Nanda and Yashoda made a partial expansion of themselves to become situated in the heavenly realm as Vasu and his wife, Drona and Dara. Drona and Dara, say it backwards. Drona and Dara are partial expansions of Nanda and Yashoda. They're eternal associates of Krishna. And under Narayan's order, they gave a partial expansion of themselves to be situated in the heavenly realm. They're counterparts of Nanda and Yashoda, Drona and Dara. When it came time for Krishna's appearance, they, Drona and Dara, became suddenly very enthusiastic to have a child. But they had no child, they were childless. So they appealed to Brahma, "Please benedict us that we can have the Supreme Lord as our son." He smiled, said, "Very well. Soon Krishna is going to appear and you, an expansion of yourselves, can enter into the body of Nanda and Yashoda in their manifest forms. And you can participate as being mother and father of Krishna." And when the pastime of Krishna was over, it was time to withdraw the pastimes of Krishna. So he withdrew his pastimes in Dwaraka, but before that, he withdrew his pastimes in Vrindavan. And when he did that, there's detail, but he dispatched the Drona and Dara expansion back to the heavenly realm, the partial expansion of them, back to the heavenly realm. And he took did a number of things. The persons who were participating in his manifest pastimes, he arranged for them to enter into their unmanifest lila and forms. So when we go to Vrindavan, we're not going to see his manifest pastimes. But the unmanifest pastimes are always going on, and qualified people can see them. We're not qualified people, so we can't see them. But when he manifests, even unqualified people could see. Kamsa could see, and the washerman can see, and Shishupal could see, and, you know, bad people could see. They couldn't see that's the Supreme Lord, but they could see his form and his activities and so on. And then he withdrew those manifest features, and they entered into an unmanifest condition. He has the power to do like that, so he did like that. And then those manifest forms, a third thing happened that's mentioned in Padma Purana. He arranged for Vimana to take them to Goloka, to Krishna Loka. Not bad. And then Krishna went to another expansion of him, went to Dwarka. And then we hear this interesting sequence of events. The demigods headed by Brahma came to visit Krishna in Dwarka. They offered their respects, they offered their prayers, and then they appealed to him. Your purpose of appearing on earth as we requested has been fulfilled. The demoniac kings, the burden on earth has been relieved, and we think it's best if you can withdraw your pastimes now. And Krishna smiled, and that was his plan anyway. So they got a chance to introduce what his plan was. So they went back to their demigod abodes, and then Krishna withdrew his pastimes in Dwarka by a series of events. So in addition to Drona and Dara, who are Angsas or partial expansions of Nanda and Yashoda in their eternal situation, so is also Vasudeva and Devaki, eternally situated in Gokula or Krishna Loka. They have their partial expansion similarly. Kashyapa and Aditi are partial expansions of Vasudeva and Devaki. So that's what's mentioned here. Kashyapa and Aditi. I'll read the sentence again. They, that's Vasudeva and Devaki, would go to Vaikuntha when Krishna wound up his pastimes. They went to Vaikuntha along with Kashyapa and Aditi, who had similar qualification. They went back to the heavenly abode. That's where they reside. Sridhar Swami, a celebrated commentator on the Bhagavatam, writes as follows, quote, "If you were pleased with them, why should they take another birth?" That is, they went to Vaikuntha. This verse answers that they will not take another birth in the future. That's what is being said by Maharaj Parikshit. Paragraph. It can be explained that the two, Vasudeva and Devaki, should not be considered sadhakas, and thus there should not be any worry about their attaining the Lord. In Padma Purana, Kartik Mahatmya, it is said, "O Parvati, all the Yadus are my eternal relatives." Again, in another part of Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, it says, like Rama's brothers, so Rama had three brothers, right? And Balaram, who is Krishna's brother, like Rama's brothers or Balaram, the Yadavas appear with the Lord from the Lord's planet by his will again and again and go to his eternal abode with him. They are not bound by karma and do not take ordinary birth. Unquote. That's from Padma Purana. Such statements are also found in books concerning Krishna's worship. There's instructions in deity worship that speak similar. Celebration of his birth and his mantra. Their appearance, the Vrishnis, now in their original forms and in their expansions in previous births, is only a pastime to preach the worship of the Lord with intense prema by showing their prema, which was intense, as was the love of the Lord for them. Paragraph. Now speaking specifically about Devaki, in being born previously as Prishni and Aditi, right? Prishni in Sutapa, Prishni Garbha, and Aditi in Kashyapa Vamana. So Devaki previously being born as Prishni or Aditi, their attainment of the Lord is not a matter of special sadhana. Rather, Devaki attained the Lord as previously by her very nature. That is expressed in this verse. You meditated upon me with special parental love and with expectation that I would specially appear, or with ordinary love and with expectations of an ordinary appearance. And then, again, reference to this verse is made. Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes. And then it goes to when Krishna was reunited with Vasudeva and Devaki after killing Kamsa. He went to the prison house of Kamsa and he freed them from prison. But they stood there with veneration. You're the Supreme Lord. And he didn't like that. He wanted the parental affection. So the verse, this is the first verse of chapter 45. Can you fix this? Understanding that his parents were becoming aware of his powers as God, he thought that this should not be allowed to happen. Thus, he expanded his yoga maya, which bewilders his devotees. They forgot he's the Lord. They saw him as their son. They embraced him. They showered their affection upon him. That's what he wanted, the motherly and fatherly affection. But the divinity was in competition with the sweetness of parental affection. Now here's Brahma's prayers with Brahma Vimohan Leela. This is chapter 10. Excuse me, canto 10, chapter 14. Brahma says, how greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd man, and all the other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become their friend. And two chapters early, this is the cowherd boys playing. In this way, all the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of Brahman, effulgence, for Gyanis, desiring to merge into that effulgence, who is the supreme Lord for devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and who, for ordinary persons, is but an ordinary child. The cowherd boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities from many, many lives, were able to associate in this way with the Lord. How can one explain their great fortune? This is Shukadeva going, wow. They're beyond worship and meditation, and those things are good, but they were beyond good. Paragraph. Seeing Krishna as their son comes first as the main method, and thinking of him as great is a secondary method. So Krishna speaking to Vasudeva and Devaki, going back to the better turn this off. The chairman of the GBC trying to reach me. Sorry, giving a class. Later, so Krishna speaking to Vasudeva and Devaki. Later, you will go from the pastimes on earth to my abode with the uppercut pastimes. You do not have to develop through sadhana. Doing sadhana would interfere with what is to be accomplished by you as my assistants. The reason is given. You have eternally perfect affection. You too have prema, filled with affection for me as a son. It is your nature in the manner of atma pahata papama. The soul is without sin in the liberated state, Chandogya Upanishad. I think we'll just read one more. This is from chapter 6, right after the killing of the Putana demon, where Krishna is dressed as the son of Devaki. Krishna, the son of Devaki, this is a translation of a verse, two verses, 39 and 40 from chapter 6. Krishna, son of Devaki, the bestower of many benedictions, including liberation, drank the milk of both the cows and the gopis, which flowed with the highest parental affection. Oh, king, these cows and women who took Krishna as their son constantly were not qualified for samsara, which produces ignorance. Commentary reads, two verses clarify the meaning of svargam mentioned in the previous verse. So svarga normally means heaven. He's saying here it doesn't, and here's why. From that particular context, the Lord gives benedictions, all benedictions, including liberation, to persons with material desires. He gives artha, dharma, and kama, and not his spiritual form. To persons desiring liberation, he gives kaivalya, his spiritual form as unqualified Brahman, with attainment of identity with the Lord, without realization of Bhagavan, with qualities. Bhagavan gives to the devotees realization of his form as Bhagavan, but not his form as a son, which evokes special feelings of possessiveness and special prema. He was the son of Devaki by birth only. Lila. Quoting this verse, text 47, although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes. But Devaki did not care for Krishna in the praiseworthy mood of Mother Yashoda. He drank excessively the milk of the cows and gopis, which flowed with paternal affection. I think it should be maternal affection. Thus, the cows and gopis are shown to have the deepest and most abundant affection. Now going back to the cowherd boys again. Neither those who are engaged in self-realization, appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, nor those engaged in devotional service while accepting the Supreme Lord as master, nor those who are under the clutches of Maya thinking the Lord an ordinary person, can understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys. There's different, so many different ways, angles, and that, you know, that all the spokes of the bicycle go to the hub, and the hub is the resident of Vrindavan, or super special. There's many special people that do special things and achieve special things by special means, but the superlative is the residents of Vrindavan. Samsara-producing ignorance will not occur for them, since they have surpassed by far the fruit of jnana. They cannot be touched by samsara because the pure devotee is most rare. Such devotee is rarer than the jnani. And then he quotes Maharishi Pariksit inquiring from Shukadev Goswami, Canto 6, about Vritrasura. How could Vritrasura have attained such exalted love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana? You know the story, Vritrasura's story? Yeah? No? Okay. Once upon a time. Indra was having a big festival in Indraloka in honor of himself. And as the singers were singing and the dancers were dancing, and they, you know, it was a big festival. The demigod priest, Brihaspati, came. And Indra didn't even notice. And Brihaspati noticed that he didn't notice. And so, quietly, Brihaspati left. But he not only left the palace, he went out of sight. So the festival was over, and his good wife, Sachi, said, Indra, did you notice what happened? Brihaspati came and you just ignored him? I think you better go find him and apologize. So he looked everywhere, he couldn't find him. And somebody sent a text message to the demons, saying, guess what? Brihaspati's gone. So Shukracharya knew what that meant. Like, this is take over. So they got their weapons and they took over. And then there's a whole series of, it's very involved, you know how Puranic stories go. So the demigods got wiped out. The demons took over Indraloka. So Indra went to Brahma, what to do, what to do? And Brahma said, you did it again. Do these things. You offended Brihaspati. You're in big trouble now. But until he comes back, you can engage Vishwarup, the son of Tvashta, the great sage, and he'll help you get the kingdom back. So details and details, he helped get the kingdom back. Said, wow, Vishwarup, you're good. Can you, you know the yajna for making somarasa? So there's details and details, and so he did. But Vishwarup was, his mother was from the Daichit clan. So he snuck and gave some to them. Indra found out. Indra got really angry and got his sword and cut off his head. Phew. That was a problem. And he went to atone for his mistake, but Tvashta was not all right with doing some atonement. He performed a yajna to create a demon that would kill Indra. But he got one syllable wrong. So instead of getting a demon that would kill Indra, he got a demon that would be killed by Indra. Indra Chatro instead of Indra Chatroho. That's it. So from the fire came Vritrasura. And Vritrasura and Indra had combat. And it's a long story, many things happened. But Vritrasura showed he had the nature of the topmost devotee, without all the detail, because it's a long story. So hearing Vritrasura and his exalted, perfect consciousness, then Maharishi Pariksit goes, wow, how did somebody achieve that? Then he goes through this long explanation what it takes to get that. And here's someone that's born from a fire as a demon, and he has this exalted nature. And here's the verse. This is spoken by Maharishi Pariksit to Shukadev. O great sage, among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayan or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. Pure devotees, most rare. So that's a scriptural evidence. Narayana Parayana is the phrase. It repeats itself several times in Canto 6. Narayana Parayana. Muktanapi Siddhanam Narayana Parayana. So durlaba prashantatma kotishvapi mahamune. So now back to this. The cows and the women of Braja that were giving milk to Krishna have constant devotion to Krishna as a son. This means that Krishna is constantly with them because of their devotion. Shukadeva addressed the king. Oh, king, existing with correct knowledge of the Lord, please understand this correctly. Shukadev Goswami is on this spontaneous, ecstatic, pure bhakti platform. Maharishi Pariksit is a pure devotee, but he has a lot of the understanding of the opulences. Kings have to know about those things. So Shukadev is educating Pariksit in the way of spontaneous love. That's what's happening here. The gopis and the cows, and he wants him to understand the mood of Braja. He's being introduced to it through Shukadeva Goswami. Conclusion here is, one should therefore understand that Swargam in the previous verse is a non-material place, since it is modified by Janani Gatim, the position of a mother, which is also beyond the material realm, as explained in this verse. The mothers, the cow gopis and the cows, were beyond material affection. They were in this transcendental mood. So that all of that is to say, what was this word, Swakatim, is a spiritual abode. How are we doing? Is it too much? It's good? It's okay. Rupa Goswami writes, Rupa Goswami, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or we know as Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada translated that. The elders of Krishna are, in descending order, Yashoda, Nanda, Rohini, the gopis whose sons were stolen by Lord Brahma, Devaki, and the other wives of Vasudev, Kunti, Vasudev himself, and Sandipani Muni. Among the elders, the first ones on the list are superior to the latter ones. And the superiority ranking has to do with the intimacy of love, or the sweetness aspect, as opposed to the Aishwarya aspect. So here we go. Deva Goswami's commentary. The list should also mean other elderly male and female associates. Devaki, Vasudev, and his other wives are considered lesser in status because their affection is less. The lesser degree of affection is caused by a prominence of jnana in their bhakti. and awareness of Krishna as the Lord. Yashoda is considered the best because she possesses pure affection and nothing else. Again, so many spokes going into the hub, and the hub is the special position of Braja Prem. And now here's a reference from Brihat Bhagavatamrita. It's a three-volume book, like that thick, and with commentary. And Sanatana Goswami is the author, and he's describing what we're going to hear. Oh, learned Brahmana, Mother Yashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to thus achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? And the commentary says, the next five verses are dedicated to the supreme glories of Goparaj Nanda and his wife, Sri Yashoda. After Shukadeva Goswami explains to Parikshit Maharaj the special way Krishna favored Mother Yashoda, Parikshit speaks this verse we just read. By showing the universal form and by displaying other exceptional pastimes, Krishna made himself known to all the Vrajvasis as the Supreme Lord. But then to show his most extreme mercy, especially to his mother, he again covered her consciousness with his unique potency so that she could think of him only as her son. Thus Krishna made the highest degree of pure affection pervade his mother's mind and all her senses. Paragraph. Parikshit addresses the son of Badarayana Vyas, that's Shukadev, with the word Brahman, or O, direct embodiment of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Oh, it's only a quarter after the hour. Okay. Where am I? Okay. Because Parikshit is asking a question that only the Lord himself can answer. What special pious acts could Nanda and Yashoda have done to achieve such a blessed state unattained in the material world? Paragraph. The devotional success of Nanda and Yashoda is Mahodayam, the greatest perfection, unequaled by other devotees, including Vasudeva and Devaki. And then it paraphrases this next verse. How special were Nanda and Yashoda? Vasudeva and Devaki were Krishna's true parents, but they were less fortunate than Nanda and Yashoda, who witnessed Krishna's childhood pastimes, in which he generously bestowed upon the world sense enjoyment, liberation, devotional service, and ecstatic love. Even today in the Kali Yuga, great poets like Brahma and Vyas sing about these pastimes because this is the means for uprooting all evils in the modern age. Right? Yesterday evening for the Sunday program in Phoenix, the six questions, six answers of the sages, Canto 1, chapters 1 through 3. So the final of the six questions was, now that Krishna has departed, where religious principles take shelter? Because when he was present, the demons were removed, and auspiciousness was created just by his placing feet on the earth, but he's gone. So now where is that protection going to come from? And the answer Sutta gives is Srimad Bhagavatam. As the sun sets in the west, on the eastern horizon comes the moon shortly thereafter. The moon, like Srimad Bhagavatam, is as brilliant as the sun and dissipates the darkness in this age of Kali. So that's what's being said. Doing what we're doing right now has that potency by design. It's meant for this age of Kali. Without glorifying Krishna's pastimes, no one can fully eradicate the faults of Kali Yuga. Pure devotees have always chanted these glories of Krishna and continue to do so up to the present day. Paragraph. The phrase loka samalapaham can be explained in several ways. Here's one way. One is that this glorification or sankirtan removes apaha, the misery, shamala, of all living beings. Or, taking shama to mean peace of mind, lapa, chanting one develops the highest quality of prema, which in turn disturbs the equilibrium of the mind and brings the faculty of speech to a complete halt. Or, reading sama as well-being and lapa as discussion, another idea is that engaging in sankirtan transforms the attitude of all who take part, leaving no scope for further discussion of impersonal self-contentment. Earlier in the chapter 8 of Canto 10, it describes some of the wonderful pranks the infant Krishna shared with Nanda and Yasoda by his special mercy. Were it not for this unprecedented mercy, Mother Yashoda would be on the same level as Devaki, who also fed Krishna with her breast milk. Later in the 10th canto, chapter 85, while narrating how Krishna recovered his dead brothers, elder brothers, Shukadeva says, quote, you let pastime? Towards the end, Vasudeva and Devaki are again with Krishna, and he's now grown up. And Devaki said, I heard that you brought back from the dead the son of Sandipani Muni. Well, I had 6 children that died because Kamsa killed them shortly after they were born. Could you bring them, please? So that's the scene, and Krishna does. Sukadeva Goswami says, by drinking Devaki's milk, the remnants of what Krishna himself had drunk, the 6 sons touched the transcendental body of the Lord Narayana, and this contact awakened them to their original identities. Unquote. This confirms that Krishna once drank from Devaki's breast. Right after Krishna's birth in Kamsa's prison, Devaki begged for on Krishna to become an ordinary baby. And at that time, he must have sat on her lap for a few minutes and drunk from her breast. Later, too, when Brahma stole Krishna's calves and friends, Krishna took on their forms and drank the milk from all their mothers. Of course, Krishna from his mother, but all the other mothers. Therefore, in the verse quoted at the present text of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Parikshit takes care to distinguish Yashoda's special good fortune from that of Krishna's other mothers. It is for this reason that he uses the word avam, thus. Just have 2 paragraphs and we're done. Parikshit here calls Krishna by the name Hari, indicating that by the motherly love Krishna kindled in Yashoda through his childhood leelas, he constantly stole her mind. And by speaking of her as Mahabhaga, Parikshit implies that she is even more fortunate than Nanda Maharaj. It is common knowledge that children are more strongly bound by affection to their mothers than to their fathers. This general truth applies to Krishna also, as shown in the 10th canto by the description of Krishna's infant behavior, especially in the pastime of his being tied up with rope. We will hear some of these descriptions in the verses recited next by King Parikshit. And final paragraph. Although Vasudeva and Devaki worship Krishna with devotion, they could not achieve a trace of the blessings Krishna showered upon Nanda and Yashoda. Vasudeva and Devaki could not directly enjoy Krishna's pastimes by crawling about and otherwise acting as an infant. Pastimes, great poets, headed by Sri Brahma, praise in song. That's it. I'm sorry I got confused between the morning class and the evening class. There was a period of time when Prabhupada was very prolific in making new volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam available from the printer. And those of us that were assisting him by distributing his books, regularly we would get a whole van load of, you know, third canto part two and fourth canto part three, and people would ask, what happened to the other parts? So Prabhupada was asked, what do you say when people say, what about the other parts? And he gave a really sublime answer. He said, you can tell them that when you lick on an ice cream, it doesn't matter what side you lick on, it's very sweet. That was it. And it worked. Because it's true, it's very sweet. Now that's the earlier cantos, which to speak of 10th canto. And another little story. Before we knew anything about anything, Prabhupada would speak about the risks of hearing 10th canto from an unqualified person, and they like to go to the Rasa Leela section and they're not qualified and the audience is bewildered because they take Krishna's pastimes as ordinary. So don't hear, don't go right away to the 10th canto, go through the first 9 cantos. And he would say it over and over and over. And then, much to our surprise, we had Krishna book, which was 10th canto. And we were going, what? And what he wanted to do is have the world have a presentation of the 10th canto that was not hodgepodge. And so he did what he called, in his own words, was a summary study. He just kind of, he followed the chapter by chapter flow, but he made it in such a way that even worldly people could get a proper idea, at least. I mean, not all the details and details like we're doing, but a proper idea. And it was challenging because here's this, the original publication were a big size, not the same size as this, but it was a much bigger page. And the front cover just said, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like, you can't do anything indirect with that one. Like, you know, Bhagavad Gita, you can say indirect things, yoga and meditation and things like that. And it's true, it's yoga and meditation. But it was a challenge. But once we got over the idea that it's a challenge and just began presenting, because just the appreciation of Krishna's pastimes is so nice, it's very easy to say things that would attract people to receive Krishna book. You know, plus our enthusiasm. It was. I spent maybe 6 months, no, 8 months, and in a van with 3 other brahmacharis, and when we left the temple, we didn't come back until 8 months later. We were doing so well distributing Krishna books, they would send us air containers from the BBT to go pick up at an airport. We just fill up the van up to the ceiling, and then it would empty out, and they send another air container, and we fill it up to the ceiling. And it's Krishna books. all around the country. It was a blast. But so Krishna's pastimes are very attractive, and are especially nice discussing in the association of devotees. Now, the topics of the Bhagavatam are meant to be katayantas chamam nityam tushanti cha ramanti cha from Bhagavad Gita. They're meant to be heard and chanted and discussed in this association of other devotees. And when it's done in that manner, tushanti, it's very satisfying, and ramanti, very pleasing. Tushanti cha ramanti cha. And devotees like. So this program of going through the commentaries, it's a little detailed, and it's nicer maybe just to hear the stories, because it's less detailed just hearing the stories. But when you hear the science or the rasa behind the story, it's nice, especially in the company of devotees. So here we are trying to churn the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam together. And two things: cleanse the ill effects of the age of Kali, or bring light into the dark age of Kali. Light meaning the source of all light, the source of all transcendental light. And then some attraction for the destination that comes from Krishna Katha or Hari Katha, topics about Krishna. Take away inauspiciousness and bring in auspiciousness just by discussing these topics. A little different than business and computer technology. That has its place in our daily lives, but this also has its place in our daily lives as the journey of the soul towards its spiritual destination is part of, essential part of life. Let's see if there's some discussion. What we've been doing is there'll be some online questions that come along as we discuss some more, So I probably should have said at the very beginning, there's going to be a little expectation from you in the room here to engage in conversation, so we can have our online people send in their little text message.
But right after that, we get attached to the material.
Mm-hmm.
Work and family.
Sure. What to do?
Get to balance. Where to start leaning more towards spiritual than...
Good question.
...pulling out from the material.
The question you're asking is Devahuti's question to Kartika Muni, to Kapila Dev. It's paraphrased. She says what you said. She says, I understand the philosophy, I understand I'm not this body, but because of strong affinity for matter, even with philosophy I can go high, but then the modes of nature pull me back down again. And it's not just me, it's like all of us. So how can we go beyond that pull? And the answer, it's given in different ways, in different places, but the same answer is sadhu sangha. And in sadhu sangha, you do with sadhus what sadhus do, bhajana kriya. So you engage in activities of hearing and chanting and discussing and worshipping and praying and so forth. You do what sadhus do when you get with sadhus. And through that association, that's how the spiritual can increase. It's one of the reasons that we have bhakti vriksha. Is like, you know, at least once a week, and then in there are other opportunities like morning reading, and so that's, there are other examples where we look for, my life is very busy, But I want to achieve the ultimate mission of life, not just the temporary ones. And I don't neglect the temporary ones, but I want to not neglect the ultimate one either. So some sadhusanga here and some sadhusanga there, and sadhusanga means even if you're on your own, so you can hear recorded lectures as you're driving to work, or you know, doing, you know, brushing your teeth, or devotees find ways of hearing in their everyday activity. Well, cooking in the kitchen, and you know, this thing and that again. You know, through spiritual sound, we can get sadhusanga. I'll tell a little Prabhupada story. It connects to this. in Vrindavan, have you been to Vrindavan? Okay. One day, yeah. Maybe we'll...
Planning to.
Yeah? I'm taking a group... If you know, I was planning to take a group to Vrindavan for Kartik, and if it doesn't happen, we're going to go 2 years in a row to Vrindavan during Kartik. So, when you go to Vrindavan, you'll see it's crazy. It's so built up. But when the land was purchased for a current Krishna Balaram Mandir, it was in the middle of nowhere. It was just agricultural fields in all directions. Like, you know, agricultural fields in all directions. Now it's crazy. But so we went out the front gate and every morning at 6 o'clock, Mangal Arati, and then a little while, then 6 o'clock, Prabhupada would go for his walk. So I took the opportunity regularly to go in his morning walk. And one time we were coming back from the morning walk, and from a distance we could hear at the gate was the kirtan. And hearing, we could all hear it, and Prabhupada looked around and said, "Where's all the devotees?" And what he meant was, there aren't very many people on this morning walk. But so someone said, they're over there at the gate, Prabhupada having kirtan. And then Prabhupada made his point and said, when there's an opportunity to have, he stopped and put his cane on the pavement, which meant like, listen up. And said, when there is an opportunity to associate with spiritual master in person, we should take that opportunity. That's called vapu. And he looked at all everybody, he's like, you got it? So then when there is vapu, when there's physical association, more important than physical association is vani, hearing. And when there isn't opportunity for physical association, then there's hearing. One can associate, this is the sadhusanga principle, through hearing. And he looked at everybody like, got it, and then continued walking. So it stuck. It was very powerful and dramatically done, as he would do. So sadhusanga through sound, his books, the recorded lectures. Now there's so much opportunity media. There's so much garbage out there too, but so much media through spiritual sound vibration. And you're just, you know, blocks of time, not balance, but I'm going to dedicate so much time for brushing my teeth and putting on my clothes and taking a shower. And I'm going to commit so much time for my work, and I commit so much time for my family. And I'm going to commit X amount of time for sadhusanga and devotional activity. So it's not balanced exactly, it's time management. And when you're feeling like you said, Devahuti was feeling the same thing. So how can I leverage things more towards that spiritual side through sadhusanga, bhajana kriya, then anarjana vritti and nishtha? The heart becomes cleansed and one becomes fixed in a steady position. Okay? You two, anything? Just pass. Okay. Anything online?
Yes. One question from Sucharita Devidasi. In some places in Srimad Bhagavatam, The Lord is said to be from the Yadava clan and sometimes from the Vrishni clan. Are these two clans the same?
They wouldn't be the same if with two different names, but they're related. The ancestry is similar. And there's details, but they're from the same descent. There's this prominent king, there's a prominent king from the same clan, and so they're called according to their clan.
Second question from her also. What is Kaivalya?
Kaivalya can mean different things. Kaivalya commonly is used to mean monism, like Kevala Advaita is Shankara's teaching, absolute monism. Kaivalya commonly means that. But there's also Kevala Bhakti. It has to do with absolutism. Kevala or Kaivalya, absolutism. So it's the common use of that is monism.
Question from Sanchari. Are the personalities who take on the role of the Lord's parents in his various incarnations expansions of Yashoda and Nanda Baba?
No.
Or are they separate from them?
Yes.
And Yashoda and Nanda appear only when Krishna himself appears?
Yes. That's it. You have something, okay.
So, you were mentioning that how the power of Vrindavan was, the prema power, is superior to the servitude of Aishwarya.
Yes, Aishwarya.
Of Madhura. So, but when we are doing the deity worship, we were told to worship them in the Aishwarya.
Definitely.
So, but our parampara is to develop love, prema bhava.
When we're qualified through following the rules or vidhis of sadhana bhakti, which is, as you described, particularly for deity worship, then a kind of intimacy may awaken. And when that intimacy awakens, we still follow the vidhis, but an intimacy of mood is within, may evolve. It should be imitated, but it may evolve of its own accord naturally. And then there's another stage. And that other stage is, there was a particular contemporary, Vamsidas Babaji, I think his name is, that he was just totally in the spontaneous. He didn't follow anything regulative. And Bhakti Siddhanta respected him, but told his followers, don't associate with him, because you won't understand. And no, he treated his deities like children. And he would order them and have them, you know, punish them, and he was on another. But it wasn't imitation. Some people imitate, and they think, "Oh, that's really far out. Let me imitate." But it was but because we wouldn't understand, he instructed his followers to not associate with him. But there's stories. There's a little book about his life. So, but for us, it's regulative. It's the vidhi of Aishwarya.
So even if somebody is doing service for, say, 20 years, 30 years, I mean, they should still do in the Aishwarya.
Look what Prabhupada did when he installed Krishna Balaram. He did the arti and he followed the vidhis. What to speak of 20 years, 30 years. And you know, that means, like Krishna says to Arjuna, you set example. So the external feature is example setting. And then the internal may be whatever the internal is, according to the natural awakening of some higher emotion. Good. Yeah.
We have a question from Uttama Bhakta Prabhu.
Okay.
While presenting Krishna consciousness to general people, non-acceptance of Krishna is also the beginning of acceptance.
Could you read that again?
While presenting Krishna consciousness to the general people,
yeah,
non-acceptance of Krishna is also the beginning of acceptance?
No, well, not necessarily at all. And some people are demoniac or asuras, and their non-acceptance is the beginning of, you know, going down, not going up. So not necessarily. Okay, we're done. Thank you very much. I brought with me some Mahabharata.